When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Chelsea Podcast. I'm Chaz, and as ever, I have the mighty Mooch with me, the award-winning Mooch.
How are you, mate? I'm hungover. I'm very hungover. I'm feeling very fragile. I had a great night. We won an award. Well, the club won an award, and then I proceeded to drink, which has been... I don't do that often, but... when I do it well. How are you, mate? How's Australia treating you still?
It's good, mate. Yeah, I'm obviously feeling slightly divorced from proceedings back in Southwest London, but I'm home this weekend, so this is the last missive you'll be getting from your Brisbane correspondent. But it's been very nice. Thank you for asking. We have as our guest today the very brilliant Vikram, who is a writer for Vowel and also part of the Chelsea Social Podcast and Network. Vic, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. It's a pleasure to be on. Hope you guys are doing well. But my first time being on here and looking forward to it.
Excellent. Good. Yeah, lovely to have you. So what's your connection to Chelsea? Has it come from... has it come professionally, or have you always been a fan, or what was it that got you involved in Chelsea?
I've always been a fan. So since I'd say around 6, 7, grew up watching Chelsea. Not that my dad was necessarily into football so much, but I just see us playing on TV. And then went to my first Chelsea game in, I think it was around 2013 when Benitez was there. And we played Leeds United in the cup, and I was there. And I was so young then, I couldn't remember much of it. But it's been back since the young days. But living up north, it's different, you know. Not a local as such, but supporting the club from quite far, really.
It's a broad church, mate. Everybody's welcome. Whereabouts in the north are you, out of interest?
Leeds. I've been living in Leeds all my life.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that makes sense then. Seeing the cup game. Yeah. Don't want to be supporting Leeds. Well, let's start. I mean, that's an interesting point to start. Let's go back to the Leeds match. We haven't actually podded since then. It was another one. I watched it live at great expense. And it was another one where it was very much a case of the result being more important than the performance. But I don't know about you. I found it a really hard watch, particularly the second half.
Yeah, definitely it was. I think, like, even when we scored the winner, I know it's like it was a joy, like we got through in the end, but we scraped through it against the Championship side. A side that I felt before that I knew that they were going to give us a tough game, because Leeds have been doing really well in the Championship, to be fair. But yeah, like, we just never looked convincing, like, even when the full time whistle blew, it's like, oh, we just got through. And it shouldn't be like that, really. It shouldn't be like they're getting to the Championship side that we should be comfortably beating.
No, absolutely. I think you make a good point that Leeds were, and we've made it on here in the preview show, that Leeds had been doing very well and, you know, were likely to come and give us a game. But they'd made 5 changes, you know, so it was, or however many it was. I felt like, I mean, apart from anything else, the goals, certainly the first two, well, both the goals we gave away were incredibly soft. Mooch, what did you make of our overall performance? And, you know, were we deserving of getting through in the end, do you think?
Obviously, we're deserving of going through. We always should always go through. But it's frustrating when you're watching it. I think going into it, we were all... a little bit nervous because of the you know, the hangover from Wembley. Were we gonna, was this, if we lose again now, we really are in trouble. And I think you've got to look at it after the game and go, okay, cool, look, we're through. We're into the quarterfinals. It was a dogged or just a dog shit display. I'm not sure. You know, there was a clutch goal in the end. Happy days. Connor scored again. And, you know, there's positives to draw from it. But when you're watching it, when you're in the thick of it emotionally, it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, I thought, look, I mean, we'll come on to our goals in a sec, but, you know, it really seemed to me like, other than those, we had a period of about 10 minutes after they scored, what was an absolute nightmare of a goal from our point of view, about 10 minutes where we looked like world beaters. And I mean, what's so frustrating, I think, is it becomes clear that we can play like that. You know, when we play, and we've said this so many times on here, when we play fast, incisive passing and people are making the right runs, you know, we can look. Both the first two goals in particular were, you know, really, really beautifully put together. It's one-touch passing, people making the runs into the box at the right time, a couple of very, very good finishes, give Jackson and Mudryk, both of whom have taken quite a slag in their due. You know, so I suppose the question is, why aren't we doing this more often? I mean, Vic, do you think after that we sort of took our foot off the gas a little bit? Yeah, what was your view on what happened after we'd got ahead?
Yeah, I think it's a theme that we've been used to throughout the season, really, where we can sustain attacks, play really well, and like suddenly we look like a proper team, where everything seems to be in sync. But it's moments FC, really. Like, we can go a goal up and then straight away we just like invite pressure, feel happy to invite pressure. And then it's expected in a way because of the young players within the team, some will say. But I do feel like you have to break that mental block where you get that goal, you have to then push on and get the second one. We shouldn't be favouring Leeds United the way we did anyways that night, because like, as good as a side they've been in the Championship, it's at home in front of our fans. We should be literally winning that 3-4-0. But yeah, even like Jackson's goal was well worth. Kaiser passed, like, lovely pass a lot. And then Mudryk's as well. I was curious about him playing as a 10, but it was just like, it was inconsistent all throughout. Like, we had attacks where we should have scored way more, but Leeds should have scored way more as well. I remember them having good chances. Even Joseph, even their striker Joseph, who had a brace, like, he could have had a hat trick that night. But yeah, it's annoying because it's a young team and you can sort of push it off as inexperienced, as a collective. But at the same time, we're making teams like Leeds look like top Premier League opposition, and that's what annoys me, really.
Agreed. I mean, I think, as I say, after those two goals, it's hard to think of a really good moment that we had until the winner. And I think another thing, Mooch, is that really concerned me is that, and it's a theme that we'll come back to for the Brentford game, is that at times the defence looked really panicked, you know. I suppose what I'm asking is, how long do we go before we start saying, okay, yes, you are an inexperienced young side, but you've been playing together long enough now. You've had enough games together. I mean, I suppose the defence is possibly a slightly different situation because we have had Badia Shiel in the team who's out. We've had, obviously, Thiago Silva in the team most of the season. He's out. Trevor Chalobah was back in, and that's, you know, obviously he's not played many games. But it was like they were, you know, defensively, they were playing like strangers.
I mean, yes, you can, like, Alfie Gilchrist, Chalobah, Sanchez into the lineup, yep. And you know, alongside, you know, our second choice right back, who is playing fantastically,
3 years, to be fair.
And you could use that as an excuse to why we're leaking goals, but we're also leaking goals when we've got our best sort of back line out. So I think that's something that will come when we get a new coach, probably, which is probably going to happen. I hope it gets fixed over summer. I hope there's, you know, just a little bit more confidence in the team, a bit more protection from the midfield, and a bit more of a fortress at Stamford Bridge. But I'm trying to be positive.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, we won the game.
Yes. You know,
and we're in the hat for the next round, and we've got another home draw against another Championship side, one who aren't actually in, although they're top of the Championship, they're not in quite as good form as Leeds have been. So, and again, it's another week, another couple of weeks before then. So hopefully another couple of players coming back. You never know. But I suppose the thing that is, what I'm concerned about is how long do you see? I think I would rather go now, not so much for the cup competition, but certainly in the league. You know, the league's gone; we're going to be mid-table. Am I right to, Vikram? Do you think I'm right to think I would rather see as many games lost as won, as long as there was clear and obvious progress? See, I'm less interested in, you know, I'm less interested in us absolutely spawning every game 1-0 wins. That won't happen anyway, but I'm less interested in seeing us win every single game, but seeing no development, seeing no cohesion, than I am, you know, actually seeing some proper development. I mean, having said that, obviously we need to beat Spurs. And there's probably a couple of other teams that I'd probably think of that I think, no, we can't possibly lose that. But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think performances at this stage of the season now, with like the league gone anyways to the top four, is, I just think it's a matter of time now where it's more performances than results. I think people within the club will accept that at some point soon. And yeah, what you want to see now amidst all the injuries that we have, because obviously people will be against Pochettino, but injuries, you can't really like prevent them. Like it's preventing the team from building any sort of relationships on the pitch when you look at connections, cohesion, because it's players always chopping and changing, coming into the fold. Was it Chalobah's first start against Leeds, I think, of the season, which was quite mind-boggling, to be honest, that we just had to throw him in like that with all the other injuries. But yeah, performances are what I'm looking out for. Like, even when we went against Leeds, I wasn't as excited as such after the game. Like, I was like, it's been like this since Wolves away, I'd say, early throughout the season. I'd say even before that. Where it just felt like, even when we win, it's like, where's the cohesion? Where's the patterns? Where's, like, just the basic fundamentals that you see from a proper footballing team? You watch Liverpool, City, Brighton play, and fair enough, they've all had, like, time with the managers, especially City and Liverpool, but you see, like, you know, consistent play, you see consistent patterns, you see what they're trying to do when they're on the ball. Whereas before, it's all like, get on the ball, try, see what you can do, like, see if you can get a cross in, and we'll have like 1-2 players in the box. It's just, we're just getting by, and it's like with individual moments, like from Palmer, to get us through, and then, yeah, it's just, it's not been great at all.
One thing I would say is that, you know, the one part of the team that really hasn't changed for much of the season has been the midfield. And again, they have, you know, that trio have had moments of brilliance. Garcia had played an absolutely lovely pass. You know, can be amazing, can also very easily lose a ball or miss a tackle. Those three really have been playing together regularly. And Even if you allow for the fact that Connor's probably been our player of the season, you'd want to see more connection and cohesion from them. What do you think, Mooch?
You do. Like, there's been periods in the season where they've seemed to have clicked and they seem to gain a bit of momentum, but there's always some part of this team that's just not functioning to the level that it needs to be. You know, we've had periods when we've had a really decent, a mean defense. You know, just before Christmas, I think we were looking quite tight at the back, but then that seems to have gone to shit, and then you know, we can't score. Now we're scoring, but we're leaking. It's just, I'm not sure if it's the fact that, you know, Poch still hasn't had a full season. Maybe he needs a little bit more time. Maybe he needs a little less pressure on him with you know, the need to get into Europe. If we'd won against Liverpool at Wembley, maybe that would have been the release that he needed. I just hope he has the time to give it a go over summer and see if we can settle this team, because I don't know if a new manager is going to be what we need.
No, agreed. Trying to look at some small. I mean, let's say we won the game, and that, of course, that midfield unit combined beautifully to get the winning goal, which was another cracker. But you touched on Mudryk, Vic. What did you make of him in that number 10 role? That was interesting for him, I think. I saw signs in him in that, given that sort of freedom to wander and not having perhaps the pressure just to kind of be so wide out on the left and get to the byline and try and get crosses in. You know, there was something in that, I think, that sort of that woke him up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was something different, something that I don't think we've seen it before, Mudryk playing centrally like that. And I was like quite concerned at the start, because I was thinking he's got bags of pace and you're playing him central where you can expect him to get on the ball and play like through balls. And he did well, like fair enough, he did well. But you have to like consider the context, like it's against Leeds who I wouldn't use that as a great example. Like I'd like to see him play centrally against like a decent Premier League side to see like what he can do with much less space and time on the ball.
Do you think it might have been a confidence building exercise as well, working on the basis that, you know, if we give him freedom, put him in a position that perhaps he would prefer to be in against a Championship side where we should be winning? I thought he showed a few really interesting, he had a few really interesting moments. Obviously, was enjoying playing there. Like everybody, he faded in the second half. But perhaps it was a deliberate attempt to sort of stoke his confidence.
Yeah, confidence boost, I'd say. But how is his confidence really going to improve long term when he's not getting regular starts? Like, that's the problem. Like, you could see him play well, like 60, 70th minute, and then he'll get subbed off, and then next game we'll just see Sterling again starting. And I have no problems with like keeping the young players fresh and disciplined. Like, you see the treatment of like Pep with Foden and many other players, and other managers that do the same, where they won't just unleash him to first team football right away. You have to like keep a good balance to it. But with Mudryk, I just feel like it's quite harsh, because you'll see him have good glimpses, but then he doesn't get to complete many 90s, and he'll come on as a sub where he'll make two mistakes, and then the whole fan base will be like, oh, he shouldn't be starting next game. It's like, how are you meant to build confidence like that, really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is hard, because obviously there are, you know, when people potentially have stronger claims. Though I have to say, I can't see him starting in the 10 very often, given that you've got, you know, Gallagher playing quite often in that central position. And if he doesn't, Cole Palmer probably does or should. Let's move on to the Brentford game. I mean, that was again, lineup wise, that was interesting. It was back to kind of perhaps more obvious personnel, but it looked like a 3-5-2 for, I think, the first time under Poch. Certainly three centre backs, two overlapping full backs, although occasionally it was a bit more like a 3-6-1. Jackson looked a bit isolated up top there. I suppose Cole was supposed to be playing kind of just off him a little bit. And no wingers at all. So, or none of the three established wingers, Sterling, Madueke and Mudryk all on the bench. Mooch, what did you make of that? Did it make you nervous?
No more nervous than I have been at any other point in the season, I don't think. I was quietly looking forward to sort of seeing this formation a couple of weeks ago and seeing how, and there was rumours that it was going to happen, but it didn't. It's materialised now, and it's something that I think we should have in our arsenal so that, you know, we are a little bit more sure at the back. Sure, it didn't work this game. But, you know, we've got, a great roster when fit of fullbacks. We've got, fullbacks and centre-backs. So this is a formation that should suit us. And, you know, we've got the personnel to do well here. So it was interesting. You know, Gusto, I thought, enjoyed it.
That's a very good point, because Gusto, I think, one thing I would say about him, although he's been very, very impressive and obviously got another assist in this game as a sort of a forward-running, overlapping fullback or wingback as he was in this game, he's maybe not looked quite as strong defensively. I don't think he's been disastrous, but just not as strong. So really is something that's, you know, this formation is something that really, you're right, it sort of should play to our strengths. Vic, what did you make of it for the, do you think it worked?
Yeah, I think, well, to be fair, it's a traditional Chelsea thing, isn't it? When in doubt, go to a back five. And
yeah. It's our Conte like moment, that. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I didn't mind it. I knew he had to change something. Like, if he stuck to the back four, I think we probably would have lost again. I think Tony would have had like much more joy up against just two centre backs. But yeah, I think going to the back three, it sort of like screamed, "Oh, this is like the last bit of hope for Poch. Like, he's running out of ideas or something." Like, just going to the back five. But I get it, because it's more height, more aerial presence, and that's huge from set pieces where Brentford can just bully you really if you don't have the height there and aerial reach as well. But yeah, I think we dealt well. From set pieces, I think we dealt well, to be fair. Definitely looked, we had Caldwell out there, De Sassi, Chalobah. We had a bit more height there. But yeah, I think it suited Enzo and Caicedo, definitely suited Enzo and Caicedo more in the first half, because they were a lot closer together, a lot more fluid, able to, like, you know, in the build up, they were a lot more fluid with each other. So yeah, I didn't mind it, but I don't know about it long term.
I think it perhaps it needs a bit of time to play itself in. I mean, I take your point about the centre-backs, but, I mean, let's look at their second goal. I'm leaping ahead a bit here, but, you know, their second goal, it was like, it looked like they were scared to defend. I mean, there was no, it was so simple, as the Leeds second goal had been. You know, it was a ball, you know, a high ball that came in, eluded two centre-backs in the Leeds game, three in the Brentford game, and it just it seemed so ragged. I couldn't, you know, there was a real lack of
leadership.
Seems a real lack of understanding and leadership. But we've said that Mooch and I have said in the past, you know, that even when Thiago Silva's in the team, yes, you probably have a little bit more because you've got that little bit more experience and awareness. We maybe look a bit safer, but even then, we don't as a defence, we've never really looked confident and cohesive. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's always been a problem though throughout the season, just set pieces, defensive organisation. I've been one that's wanted Silva to be dropped for like quite a while, long before his injury. But since then, it's not like we managed to form a centre-back partnership as such, because obviously Badiashile got injured and he wasn't in great form even before. So it's an issue, like it's been an issue all throughout the season, because we've conceded like so many goals, like way more than we should be considering like the talent that we have in defence. But yeah, defence, we should be so much better. And like going to a back five, I think Poch could just stick with that just to be more solid on the defensive side. But you have to also think like going forward, because even for the Jackson goal, like it was just him up against three centre-backs for Brentford, and like he managed to get the head on it, fair enough, but like, I felt sorry for him all throughout the game. So it's about getting the balance right, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Mooch, just very quickly, another thing on lineups. Petrovic was back in goal. Sanchez having played against Leeds, is that a good thing or a bad thing for you?
That Sanchez played?
Petrovic was back. I mean, it looks like he's number one now, doesn't he?
Yes.
He played against Brentford.
As much as I do have a soft spot for the thug that is Sanchez, Petrovic, I have more confidence when he's there, and I think the defence do too, and I think we're able to play out a little bit better. I think he's firmly staked his number one spot, and I feel it's going to take a lot to move him from that. I do still like Sanchez, but he's not number one anymore.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, I think. So just talking about our performance a little bit, once again, we were up against a low block, you know, and you get a lot of talk about teams that do this. You'll see pundits talking about a very well-organised defence, you know, they've got, there's two lines of four, they're not allowing any space, this, that, the other. But surely, Vic, this has got to be down to the attacking team, hasn't it, to pull that apart. And a lot of the time I felt we were reduced to walking pace because we weren't making the runs or finding the passes that were pulling the defence from side to side or moving them out of shape.
Yeah, this is where like elite level coaching comes in, really. Where you need to see like certain patterns where you're up against the back five, so you need to see width. But I think we lacked that at times throughout. A lot of players were just running into blind alleys where they didn't really know what to do on the ball. And it was worrying to see because we've seen it all throughout the season. It's just showing more and more. Even Wolves at home, it was on display again where it's like, what do we do on the training ground? It's like, is Pochettino really like coaching on the ball work, or is it just all about in transition running? Is he all about that? I don't get it. But yeah, in particular with Brentford, like, I never really felt that we were going to create clear quality cut chances. It was always like we just have to wait for Gusto, whoever, to get like a lucky crossing, and Jackson just to get on the end of it. I mean, I know Jackson had that chance, which he should have scored much earlier on, but we never really like consistently sustained attacks where we were really testing the keeper. I don't remember, like, I think Enzo had a weak shot, but then other than that, we just never really like tested the keeper anywhere near as much as we should, considering the quality that we have.
No, absolutely. I think that's it. You know, I mean, we had a lot of possession and not an awful lot to show for it. And it's time and time again, I think, we do prove that when we move the ball quickly and make the runs, and that's the thing that really frustrates me so much, because we do have enough possession and we have enough quality within our players that if you're making those, you know, if someone makes the right run at the right time and doesn't just stand around waiting for a perfect pass through a mass of bodies, you know, when that happens, we do create chances. And that's what happened with the Jackson chance. Which, as I say, he made a bit of a hash off, but you know, and then he came good, scored again, and then for the next sort of just the remaining sort of 10 or 15 minutes of the half, I thought we looked really good. And I think if we'd have scored again, we could probably have put things to bed. So why are we struggling to do that? Mooch, any thoughts?
I don't know. What I am finding frustrating is how poor we look coming back on the pitch after half time. It seems like during the half time there is just no motivational sort of pep talk or anything like that. It's like we switch off for the first 10-15 minutes and then have to claw our way back into a game, and we're just conceding goals at that point. And it's perplexing, because you know we should be building momentum, and we should have been able to just clearly get the instructions across to your team, motivate them, and start the second half with a bang. But it's the complete opposite, and it's becoming a bit of a pattern, and it's worrying. So I'm not sure, I don't know whether that is down to the coach or if it's because these guys shouldn't be losing concentration and coming into to second halves like this. I'm not sure.
Well, I think that's,
I think that's where, sorry to interrupt, but I think that's where leadership just becomes, I think that's where leadership just becomes really important, because second half, it's been a theme all season where we just look really slow, and it's like we're waiting for the opposition to score before we wake up. Yeah, I just think that's where leadership comes in, because when we saw it again against Brentford, where we just looked sloppy and slow and lethargic in the second half, there was no one that was really, I mean, I saw Caldwell have a go at midfield or whoever, but I saw Caldwell, yeah, it was just Caldwell, but other than that, I never really saw like voices. It was just like, it's just happening in front of us and nothing's being done about it. And Pochettino, he's not animated as such himself on the touchline. So I think that's really worrying. I think that's where, I class that as a basic minimum for a manager just to get the team motivated right in the second half.
Well, just to play devil's advocate for a second, and look, you know, these are young men paid an awful lot of money, but could fatigue come into it? I mean, because let's face it, you know, hang on. Okay.
The listeners might
see this. He's making a face at me, listeners. You can't see that.
Me and Vic have just done a stink face.
Hang on, I know. No, but wait a minute. I'm just saying, I'm just playing devil's advocate because, as I say, really, players have, with this amount of youth and athletic prowess, etc., shouldn't really be. But they have been playing two games. They had the long Liverpool game, obviously, the Wembley game on what was very lush turf. They'd had a midweek game as well, which Brentford hadn't had, obviously. Let's go back to the fact, okay, not so much the defence, but let's go back to the fact that, you know, the front five really have been playing in pretty much every game, and there's been no respite for them, particularly for the midfield, because there's hardly anyone you can bring on. You know, there's, because the rest of our midfielders are basically injured. That brings me back. I've just thought of this. What's happened to Cesare Cassaday? Has he been injured as well? Because I haven't seen his name mentioned since he came on and had a couple of minutes, didn't he? I think it might have been the Villa replay or something like that. But he's not played at all. And I think he's a very good, you know, certainly for 10 minutes at the end of a game, why not bring him on? Maybe he's injured, but I haven't seen his name on the website saying he's injured or anything like that. Anyway, so could that be a thing? I know what you're going to say, but could fatigue and the fact that these players have to stay on the pitch be a factor?
Vic, do you want to say no, or do you want me to say no? Like,
I don't think fatigue's an issue. We saw it against Liverpool, where Liverpool played a lot more football than us throughout the season, yet they were much, much fitter than us in extra time. Like, and it shouldn't be like that. We don't have European football. I know it's fair enough, like, we've had cup games there and then, but it's like we've got midweek action to look forward to every single week. So I don't think that's an excuse, really. Some of the players don't look fit enough, and I don't know if that's to do with what's... I don't know what it is. The manager or training? It's been a problem for, I think, even last season, where players, some of them, looked overweight or such. And I saw a few tweets about it a couple of weeks ago where it was saying Enzo in particular and Caicedo were looking overweight. But yeah, I don't know what it was. I don't know whether to pin it all on Poch. I don't think it's just one man problem like that, where, you know, it's just his training methods. But yeah, I don't think it's an excuse for lethargic second half performances, because
it's certainly not an excuse for them coming out and, you know, and not starting a second half of gusto. You know, apart from anything else, you've just had 15, 20 minutes where you sat down and had a cup of tea, you know. So, come on, get out, up and at them.
I've not been in many Premier League changing rooms, but I don't think they're drinking tea.
Half an orange and, tea with three sugars. Why not? Yeah, if it works for Sunday League, why not?
True.
I think you're both right. And as I said, I just wanted to put it out there because, I mean, certainly, Caicedo and Enzo, there does seem to be a dropping off. They do look a little bit gassed. I don't know about overweight, certainly not on Enzo's part, but they do seem to look, you know, a little bit tired. I mean, it was interesting that second half. I felt we were really poor. There was a section where they were having a lot of chances. I think Reguilon should really have
Should have scored.
It was with about 50 minutes, 30 minutes to go, something like that. And then again, we pick it up again. Look, the better side for the last 15 minutes. Probably, having scored the goal, probably had enough chances to, or, you know, could have won it. And let's face it, Brentford are on a terrible, were on a terrible, terrible run of form. Still are, really, even with the draw. And we couldn't quite manage it. Why that contradiction? Why did it take us so long to get, you know, to get our arse in gear and start putting together a performance, which, as I say, in the last 15 minutes, again, we looked something like a football team. Why are we getting those dips? Is it concentration? Is it just training? What do you reckon, Vic?
Yeah, I think it's complacency, to be honest. It's a little sign of complacency where some players feel like the game's won, even though we're not comfortably in the lead. I mean, we saw it from the 70th, 80th minute where suddenly we started to sustain attacks and suddenly started to see much more penetration, like down the flanks, runs in behind. For me, it's a mixture of just a lack of quality coaching, lack of discipline from the manager and the coaching staff, and the fact that it is a young squad. And there and then you are going to get players just not sack it off as such, but you see them turn it on and off.
I think you're right there. You've touched on something there that it's a young squad, and they may be saying the right things, and they may be speaking. You know, they're PR trained, and you know they say they're confident, but are they? Are they really confident? Is that belief there? Is that ruthlessness there? Is that winning mentality instilled in this team, which is cobbled together, you know, 8-9 months ago? Some of them haven't played together before. And the season that people did play together before was a shit show. So it's not something that often happens overnight. You know, there are cases when you can get a new manager in and it will just sort of change the mentality of the dressing room. We're just repeating the same points we've had over the season. There's no leader in there to whip the mental fitness of this team into shape. And I don't think Poch is renowned for that. I think when he did it at Tottenham, you know, a few years ago, there were leaders in that team, you know, and I think
there was more experience as well. You know, there was, he didn't just, although he brought in some youth players, you know, he didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No.
You know, and we've already said that some of our experienced players possibly aren't the kind of, you know, I'm thinking Sterling in particular, aren't necessarily those, you know, come on, troops, up and at them type, you know, type players who are going to really whip up the rest of the squad around them, you know?
And the way that you're going to get that sort of ruthlessness, belief and feeling of invincibility is from results, but you're not going to get those results without that confidence performance consistently. So it's a tricky situation because I don't see it changing quickly. If we can make it to summer, maybe we can instill a different mentality.
Yeah, I think that's where it comes back to the directors though, really, because how do you spend that much money, as much as we have, and not just bring in one or two proven world-class leaders? Like, look at United with Casemiro, like, fair enough, like, there's obviously weakness with Casemiro, but he's still that signing where that profile where he's been there at the top level and won it. Like, he's proven himself as a leader. Like, we should have bought just one or two of those. Like, amidst all the changes that you have, if you're going to like sell as many as players as we did that summer, then you have to like get the balance right with experience and youth. And we've just gone so one sided with youth, and I think that's where the problems are going to come. Like, obviously, the lack of coaching like comes into it as well. But at the end of the day, it's still a squad where, from the outside, people will be looking in and they'll be going, there's no voices in there. There's no like proven leaders in there. And that's something that you never lack with Abramovich sides the years gone by, where you'd always have a strong core and Rudash has been ripped out basically.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's a song that we've been singing for the whole of the season. You know, we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater a little bit, you know, and we can always understand that you want to buy young, you want to buy potential, but if that's all you buy and you buy it all together and that's the whole team pretty much, then, you know, everyone's got to develop at the same time. Everyone's got to develop positively. You know, they've got to blend together really well. And if that doesn't happen, Mooch.
I think it's been done before, you know, where you know, the class of 92 and all that. But
yeah, but there were still experienced players in there.
Yes, but also the other thing was that they came through the ranks of a Manchester United that had an ethos and a mentality, and it's not right. Such a big change with a regime change, as well as a first 11 change, as well as two or three managerial changes, all in the space of 18 months.
And they'd all been playing together in that youth team, of course.
Exactly.
So they knew each other's game, you know.
So what do we do? Do we wait this out? Do we try and make it? I mean,
there was booing at the end of the game.
That's
my final question to you, I suppose, for this episode, both of you guys. Vic, from what you're saying, it feels like you might be leaning towards Poch out. I mean, are we Poch in or Poch out? I'm still of the mind that changing coach, certainly at this point, isn't really going to make a significant difference. I'm beginning to think that we probably should be seeing more signs of development from the team, but I'm still Poch out. But what about you two?
You said Poch out just there.
I'm Poch in. All right. It's early over here. Give me a break.
I have been Poch out for quite a long while now, but it's obvious that the problem's got beyond him. I'd probably just give him end of the season anyway, because what's the point in bringing back Lampard again or just another interim? It's pretty much a waste for the second half of the season. But let's just see if Poch can really just get anything out of the squad just for the remaining part of the season. I mean, I saw tweets earlier today saying that we're already looking at other replacements. But I don't think they'd come at this stage of the season, really. They'll obviously finish their seasons. But Poch out, but the problems obviously go way beyond him. We can bring in a top manager, but we'll have to change our recruitment policy. We'll have to, because I saw Fabrizio tweet out earlier saying that we're not even convinced on Ivan Toney anymore because of his age. And like that baffled me, because like, how can you like turn down a striker that's available, prem proven, someone who would instantly improve us like quite massively?
100%.
And you can bring in a De Zerbi or a Ruben Amorim or whoever top manager out there available, but the problems will still be there with the recruitment. And if they're not going to change their ways, if they're not going to notice what you need to really get to the top level, then we're going to be like this for next season and the season after. Mm-hmm. How long it's going to go, and you're just having to rely on a young group waiting for them to become really good.
I think it was
depressing but true.
There's a couple of remarks recently from Poch where basically he knows his place and
he's not going to rock the boat and demand more.
No, he's not making too much. And that, it's a tricky position to be in. But I think you don't know, because you're not in those rooms privy to those conversations, but we should, I'm not Poch out. I don't think he's had the time he needs. I think it's hard at Chelsea where the pressure's there from the off, and especially when we're used to winning so much, and if we're not getting those results, we make those changes. I think we're going to need to have a different outlook on the next few seasons because of what we've done financially. We've spent £1 billion on players who are there for a long time with long contracts. So our hand is almost forced. It might be a lot more painful before it gets a bit more easier, but we've got to give them another transfer window and a pre-season with the team to hopefully start without half a dozen major injuries.
Yeah. Well, on that super optimistic note, I think we'll bring this one to a close. I bet you're glad you listened, Chelsea fans. We'll be back to do a little preview of the Newcastle game for next Monday night. And in the meantime, Vikram, thanks so much for joining us at what was very short notice. So we appreciate that, mate. It was lovely to have you.
Yeah, pleasure to be on for the first time.
Thanks, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again for the Newcastle preview. Mooch, as ever, it's been a joy. Get over your hangover, son.
We'll see.
Well, hopefully you will at some point.
Yeah, one day.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep the blue flag flying high. Good to talk to you. We'll speak to you again soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.